Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Santa, we have to give all of the liberals coal for Christmas because they hate coal so much, but they're going to love it. It's going to keep them warm at night. They're going to love coal at the end of the day. We love it. We're rocking and rolling here on 1210 WPHD. We're going and airing grievances. Yesterday was Festivus. We got Rand Paul's Festivus report. All of the ridiculous things that government spent money on. This is meant to get you upset. It's meant to get you upset. Let's start with this one, okay? You know, we talk about border security. We talk about mass deportations, right? The guy who lit the woman on fire in a New York City subway, you go, whoa, 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 whoa. Well, if you haven't heard about that story by now, I don't know where you've been. But yeah, it happened. Somebody was lit on fire on a subway, F train, in New York City. Just when you thought things couldn't necessarily get any worse for the city, here we are. You got folks, and the person who did that was an illegal alien from Guatemala who was deported under Trump and got into the country under Biden as what you could refer to as a gotaway. Gotaway. We'll get to that story in a minute. But we did spend in this in our government budget last year, we did spend $2.1 million on border security. So, you know, we're trying to address the problem. Oh, wait. We didn't spend it on border security in the United States of America. Where did we spend $2.1 million? Whose border are we enforcing with $2.1 million of your taxpayer money? Oh, that's right. That would be the nation of Paraguay. Does anybody know where that is on the map? I had a hard time finding it myself. Apparently, it's in very close proximity to Argentina. That's nice. So you mean to tell me it's in South America? You mean to tell me it's in Latin America? You mean to tell me it might be one of those countries that's emptying their prisons and mental institutions and sending them up to the United States? So we're enforcing their border while they send their worst people to our border? That's what we're doing? $2.1 million to provide enhanced border security in Paraguay. To secure their border. Our own border last year, according to Rand Paul's Festivus and Waste report, encountered an all-time high of 250,000 encounters with undocumented immigrants on the United States-Mexican border in December alone of 2023. The powers that be decided it was the perfect time to focus on securing a border thousands of miles away in Paraguay. Nothing says America first like giving $2.1 million to another nation to secure their border while our border is wide open. Imagine you, wherever it is you may live, you've got a nice yard, your fence is kind of falling apart. And instead of spending the money that you worked hard for on your fence, you started fixing all of your neighbor's fences. Hey, neighbor, your fence is having a hard time. Let me fix that. Hey, neighbor over on the side, does she need a new fence? I'll pay for that. What are you going to do about your fence? Ah, don't worry about it. Yours is more important than mine. No, it's not. And especially not when you're talking about an entire nation, a border that's been thrown wide open. No, I'm sorry. The affairs of Paraguay and what's going on their border, they're not more important than what's going on America's border. Another one of my favorites here. The government spent, and you're going to say, this isn't that much money, so it's not that big a deal. What could we have done with this almost $300,000 of taxpayer money? I don't care that it's just a drop in the bucket. And by telling me that, you're highlighting another problem that we have. $300,000 shouldn't just be a drop in the bucket. It should mean something. That's a lot of money. $288,563 to ensure bird watching is nice. I know a lot of people who like to do it. They take out the binoculars. They look at the birds. Like, oh, look, a cardinal. It's a beautiful, but a wonderful bird. We love these birds. They're beautiful. I get along very well with these birds, right? Turns out I could sound like a bird, too, not just Donald Trump. I could sound like a bird. You look at it. We love these birds. They're beautiful. Mr. Bluebird on my shoulder. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. What a fantastic day. That's what we say, right? Bird watching. I know a lot of people who enjoy the hobby. I know a lot of people who enjoy the hobby. It's nice. It's peaceful. $288,563 to ensure bird watching groups have... I can't even get... Have safe spaces. That's right. AKA affinity groups. That's right. That's right. And yet another shining example of wasteful government spending, the National Science Foundation has decided that the world of bird watching needs diversity, equity, and inclusion. And they've approved a grant of $288,563 to create affinity groups within ornithological societies, basically bird watching clubs based on identity characteristics. Nearly 300,000 of your money. Don't tell me it's a drop in the bucket. I don't care about that talking point. It is $300,000 that could have been used for something more important than this nonsense. Is this or is this not nonsense? It's nonsense. It's stupid. Okay? This is dumb spending. This is something that we don't need to spend money on. Can we at least? I don't care if you're on the far left or if you're on the far right or if you're a space alien. We could all agree there are better things to spend $300,000 on than this. Nearly $300,000 of your tax dollars are being used to sort bird watchers into groups based on who they are or how they identify themselves rather than what they love, watching birds. So it's not like, hey, what birds do you want? I want to see cardinals. I want to see bald eagles. I want to see ravens. I want to see blue jays. I want to see robins. I know my birds. We love birds. They're beautiful birds. No, it's, well, how do you identify? Well, I'm a pansexual. And I'm a transgender. And I'm a an LGBTQIAPPPP7SQ+. Oh, okay. Let me split you guys up. It seems that even the peaceful pastime, back to the Festivus report, of observing our feathered friends isn't safe from the DEI craze. They say they are trying to ensure that birdwatching communities are more inclusive. Okay, wake up, grab a set of binoculars, and go watch the birds. Let's take the $300,000 that we're using to sort people and put it towards something a little more important. I would say in the grand scheme of things and on the list of priorities, bird watching and making sure that the bird watching attendees are sorted into groups by which they identify, not at the top of anybody's list, right? Would you say that? I would say that, not at the top of anybody's list of what we should be spending. And I get it. You all want to say $300,000. It's not, you know, it's not the end of the world. It's just, it's a drop in the bucket, but we could be putting that $300,000 towards something so much better. Something that'll go so much further. But instead, what do? Instead, we spend money in Brazil. The Department of State spent $3 million for girl-centered climate action in Brazil. The Festivus report notes, while American households need to spend an additional almost $1,100, $1,095 each month, or $13,000 per year to maintain the same consumption basket they had in January of 2021, the State Department decided to do what it does best. Send your money and spend it on something you'll never be asked for and probably never will. $3 million of your hard-earned tax money to a Netherlands-based organization. How dare you? Greta Thunberg. No one disputes the importance of empowering young women. And no matter where you fall in the climate change debate, one has to question the logic of sending millions of dollars overseas for a program that at its core appears to be more about political posturing than tangible results. 17 of the 23 climate voices in 2023 happened to be a woman. Last time I checked, birds, trees, and oceans don't really care who's leading the charge to save them, and neither should we, even if you believe that's a thing. Girl-centered climate action. But my favorite is this. And then we're pretty much going to leave, probably going to leave Festivus alone for the rest of the show. Maybe we'll revisit it at the end. Magic. magicians, disappearing acts, card tricks. I pulled a quarter from your ear. $7 million. Your government spent $7 million on magical projects. You say, what are you talking about, magical projects? Thanks to the visionary minds and the National Endowment for the Humanities. I'm not kidding. This is in the Festivus Report. In cooperation with the University of North Carolina at Charlotte, we can revel in the mystifying podcast, Magic in the United States. For the astonishing price of $388,863, you can now enjoy the six episode per season deep dive into magic. I'm gonna pull a rabbit out of my, you know what? Buttigieg knows a thing or two. Unfortunately, this isn't the kind of magic that will fix our roads or lower our taxes. It's just the usual bureaucrats making your money disappear with the wave of their hands. Imagine paying almost $400,000 to put six episodes of a podcast out. Where do I get that gig? Where do I get that gig? The Festivus Report says when it comes to solving 21st century problems, there's nothing more relevant than witches, shamans, and some guy waving a wand somewhere in colonial New England. Each episode promises to take us on a historical roller coaster through the spells, superstitions, and magico, this is their term, magico-religious movements of America's history. We are now spending millions of dollars to study the evolution of magic in the United States. So when somebody says, you know, what's next? The United States government going to start sending money overseas to Narnia and Hogwarts? Yeah, they're doing that. The Institute of Museum and Library Services awarded $250,000 to the American Museum of the Moving Image to update its exhibition on magic, lantern shows, and Nickelodeons. It's $250,000 to talk about magic. Well, that's nice. The National Science Foundation awarded $94,000 to study, not to create new episodes of, which honestly, as a child, I loved the show. It would be kind of cool to see it come back, to study the Magic School Bus, to study it. So you're being paid $95,000 to watch a pretty damn good TV show back in the day. We got along very well, by the way, with Miss Frizzle. Tremendous person, wonderful bus driver. And Kamala Harris happened to like her a lot. You know, she loves the school bus. And maybe that's what we're seeing in the skies of New Jersey. Maybe it's the magic. They say it's the size of school buses, the drones. Maybe it's the magic school bus, the greatest school bus the world has ever seen. Miss Frizzle, she said, do your stuff, right? Okay, bus, do your stuff. $95,000 to study the TV show that's been around for how many years now? It's like 20 plus years. I did used to like that show a lot. It was a good show. This is the worst part of this whole thing. Because you said there's $7 million. The number's not adding up. That's okay. $6,293,820 from the Department of Defense. You know, the same Department of Defense that just admitted they didn't know the amount of troops that were in Syria. Oh, we just found out there's actually 2,000 troops in Syria, not 900. Remind me again why Pete Hegseth is not qualified to run the Pentagon. When we don't know how many troops are in places of complete and utter turmoil. Terrorists just took over an entire country, and you don't know how many people are in the country? Well, here's the Department of Defense again. $6,293,820 on a Magic City Discovery Center. You mean to tell me there was nothing else you could have spent $6 million on? Really? As the Festivus Report says, we should limit the federal government's involvement in cultural and educational affairs overall. Cutting government-funded, magically inspired projects is a great place to start. Magic. Listen, for $6.2 million, they all better be able to fool me with some really good sleight of hand. Don't just make my money disappear, but really blow my mind with some of these tricks. $6.2 million for a Magic City Discovery Center. How about you magically discover a better way to spend our money? How's that sound? Does that sound like a plan to any of you out there? Magic City Discovery Center, we're spending $95,000. I'll watch the Magic School Bus for $100,000. Sign me up. Sign me up right now. Sign me up right now. It was a great show. When I was a child, you know how much I learned from the Magic School Bus? It was a great show. The space episode was tremendous. You know, you go to Jupiter, they have the beautiful red spot, and it's a very beautiful state. Are they planet? Beautiful planet, not a state. Beautiful planet. We love Jupiter. I love that show. I didn't get $100,000 for watching. Can I bill the government back pay? I watched it. I can tell you every episode front to back. $95,000 to watch the Magic School Bus. $6.2 million for a Magic City Discovery Center. How about you magically discover a better way to spend our money, right? How about you magically discover a way to enforce the border, enforce the laws on the border? It really would require an act of magic for the government to be pointed in the right direction. All right, we're pretty much done with Festivus here. We've aired our grievances. There's plenty more in this report that we can get to, but I want to get to something different. We're going to get to Kathy Hochul, the New York City subway disaster yesterday. 2 days ago, sorry, the tone deafness of the governor of New York, the bucktooth bandit of Buffalo. We got that and so much more over the course of the next just under 3 hours here on 1210 WPHT. We're in hour two of Kale and Company. Sean Farish, guest hosting. Follow along with the conversation on YouTube. Listen live on the Odyssey app. Chime in on X at Sean_Farish, SHAWN_FARASH. We're back after this on 1210.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Since they're firing up their printer, they just deserve to get more of what they're printing. Don't you know? They make nearly three times the American salary, the average American salary. They deserve more, according to people like Dan Crenshaw, so many others. It's a shame. I'm going to start with government waste. Maybe we should start there. Maybe congressmen should be paid the median salary of their districts. I don't know. Something to talk about. Anyway, we're going to get to this this story out of New York City. You know, it's not a great story to talk about in on the day before Christmas on Christmas Eve, but it's out there in the news and it should be addressed. And we can use this to tie in to the heroic actions of a guy by the name of Daniel Penny. And we can use this to tie into the fact that this is why Donald Trump was sent to the White House, sent back to the White House with a mandate. You know, a woman who was sleeping on a New York City subway, the F train, was lit on fire on the subway a couple days ago, and she died as a result of it. And the person who lit her on fire was an illegal immigrant from Guatemala who was deported under the first Trump administration and found his way back into the country under the Biden-Harris regime. And shortly after the attack, for whatever reason, the bucktooth bandit of Buffalo, Governor Kathy Hochul, decided that she was going to post about how safe the New York City subways were. Libs of TikTok put this up on X. She posted this video about how safe the subways are and all this wonderful action that has been taken to make the subway safer right after somebody was literally set ablaze. Listen to this. And if you're on YouTube, watch this video. Kathy Hochul, she's riding the subway, you know, just like a normal person. It's cringeworthy. And it is incredibly tone deaf when you consider the timing of this post. Take a look at this.
I'm on the subway train heading out to Queens Center. I have a lot of, not quite last minute, but I have holiday shopping to do. I've got an adorable 2-year-old granddaughter, so it's a lot more fun to shop. I can take the subway where we need to go. And I want all New Yorkers to feel safe, which is why we've added so many more National Guard, over 250 more people that will make sure that your ride is a safe one for me.
Thanks, Kathy. Thanks. Thank you for making the subway so safe. She posted that a couple of hours after everybody learned of this attack. But now, why on earth would you do that? Well, to me, it means that she probably doesn't run. Kathy Hochul is stupid. I don't know if she's that stupid. She's dumb. I mean, she is as dumb as a box of rocks. And my apologies to any boxes of rocks who take offense to that comment. I apologize to you for comparing you to this idiot, okay? I mean, this is a woman who got so fired up about things that little old me said on a podcast on Long Island that they started passing hate speech bills in the state of New York. Oh, we have to police online hate speech. We said, yeah, okay, whatever, Kathy. But this person lights a woman on fire, and Kathy Hochul's official government account on X starts posting about how safe the subways are. I mean, you have to, there is a level of tone deafness here that has not been achieved, not even by the great William Hung. Remember? She banged. Remember him? Right? That was, you thought he was tone deaf. Meet Kathy Hochul. And the story obviously gets worse. How much worse could a person being lit on fire on the subway get? Well, when you find out that this was completely and totally preventable, it is worse. The person who did it was an illegal immigrant from Guatemala who was previously deported by the Trump administration in June of 2018. Okay, so the Guatemalan illegal Sebastian Zapeta crossed into the United States in Arizona on June 1st of 2018 and was deported just 6 days later, June 7th. Of 2018. He then re-entered the United States illegally as a gotaway at an unknown time and unknown location and roamed around the country freely thanks to Joe Biden. And this is what we like to highlight. This is what I like to highlight when we talk about the border. They say, oh, well, you know, there's only, it's 10 million and you think there's 20 million illegals, but there's really only 10 or 11 million. And we look at the encounters. Okay. Again, it's the same argument that you can make about COVID, right? Remember when the cases were going up and everybody was flipping out? Oh, my gosh, there's all these cases. And then CNN came in and they were like, and these are only the ones that we know who tested positive. Well, they were right. You know, there were people who never got a test to go, hey, I think I got COVID. I just never got tested. I don't know if I got it. Well, they didn't count as a case number, right? As a documented case. When I got COVID, I got tested because at that point I was working for a company that was going to give me 10 days off paid for being sick. It was a great deal. I was ecstatic that I tested positive, as a matter of fact. But we had, and I didn't have to get the vaccine, natural immunity, right? And it was the only time I'd had it. But I'll tell you what. You have, what, 10 million, 12 million, whatever they say the number is. But we know it's more than that. Because you can't put a number on the amount of people. You can't give me a firm number on the amount of people that got into this country that we don't know about. This guy got into the country. Nobody knew he was here until he lit somebody on fire on the subway. It's not like he skipped a court date. You know, some of these people come in, they're encountered, they get, you know, detained, they get a court date, and then they never show up and nobody pursues finding them. And that's how that goes. This guy got in. Nobody knew he got back in until he decided, you know what we're going to do a couple days before Christmas? We're going to set somebody on fire on the subway. Totally preventable. How is it preventable? Secure the border. Listen, you're not going to stop every illegal entry. I understand that. Nobody's asking for perfection. You can't have a perfect country, although Poland is pretty damn close. Why do you think there's no terror problem in Poland right now? You know, it's almost impossible to get into that country. As an immigrant, it's almost impossible. You could take a look at a map of Europe. It's a pretty interesting thing. You can Google this, a map of terror attacks in Europe, and you will see an area where there are no terror attacks, and it is perfect. It perfectly outlines the borders of the country of Poland. It's not to say nothing goes wrong in Poland. Again, no country is perfect. But you look at it, there are immigrant-fueled crimes that go on all over Europe. You're seeing what happened in Germany, right? And this is great. The mainstream media, they come out, they say, a car drove through a Christmas parade. Oh, a car did it. Was it a Tesla driving itself? A car drove through it? No. It was a car being driven by a terrorist. Just like they say, you know, there was a shooting. Well, somebody shot the gun, right? A bad hombre, a bad person. Shot the gun that killed people. Are you going to ban cars next? Well, they probably want to. The attack occurred at 7:30 a.m. on December, I believe it was 22nd, when the suspect, without any prior interaction, approached a woman sleeping on the subway and ignited her clothing. New footage revealed the suspect remained at the station after the attack, sitting on a nearby bench. That just shows you that he didn't think he was going to get in trouble for it. But what does he have to lose, right? Probably nothing. As flames consumed the victim, the suspect was seen exacerbating the situation by fanning the flames. In the video, he walks up to the woman and he fans the flames. Now, remind me again why we're spending $2.1 million securing the border of Paraguay when cockroaches like this are entering our country and lighting our people on fire. Why did nobody help this woman? Do they feel like if they did help and intervene with this man who was lighting her on fire, that they were going to be dragged through a painful process the same way Daniel Penny was? Is that the city that you want to live in if you're in the city of New York, in any of those five boroughs? You know, I remember after 9/11, we visited the city a lot. And we would see a lot of New Yorkers helping each other. I'd go into the city with my mom, my sister would meet my dad for dinner. My sister was young. She was in a stroller. I was a child, you know, and we had strangers who were helping us up the steps, picking up the stroller and taking us up the steps. Now, is that still the same city? No. I know for a fact in those days, if some guy tried to light somebody on fire on the subway, he probably wouldn't have gotten away with it, probably wouldn't have been able to go through with it. But now you're dealing with a city that is, it's been completely and totally hijacked and run into the ground. De Blasio and now Adams. And there are people who want to pardon this guy, Eric Adams. There are people who want to play nice with this guy, Eric Adams. Look at what this city is right now. Look at what his district attorney, you have Alvin Bragg, the Manhattan district attorney, who is essentially scaring people from helping each other on the subway. Because, you know, if you lay a finger on this illegal Guatemala, oh, it's another racially motivated attack against a migrant. And you don't know he was going to light her on fire. You don't know that Jordan Neely was going to hurt anybody on the subway. Daniel Penny shouldn't have gone anywhere close. He killed that man, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, all that was proven to be, to quote Joe Biden, malarkey in a court of law. You have now disincentivized people from helping each other, and you are now incentivizing more crime like this to take place on your subway. And you have a governor, Kathy Hochul, who 2 hours after this attack, whether she posted it or not, whether she knew about it or not, whether it was her staffer who scheduled the tweets, and this will be a nice thing to send people into the holidays with. That's probably what happened. Whether that's the case or not, was tone deaf enough to sit there and tell everybody that the subway is safe despite somebody being lit on fire on that subway. It doesn't sound like a very safe place to me. Is this the city you want to live in, New York? And even worse, think of this. You think it's bad enough in New York City for people to pay attention, people to wake up? You think it's bad enough? I'm not so sure. I don't know what the odds are on some of these betting websites, but I'd say there's a pretty darn good chance that Andrew Cuomo is going to be your next mayor in New York City. No, he would never get a place of power. Yeah. You don't think so? Someone find me the odds on whether Andrew Cuomo is going to be the next mayor of New York City. And if they're, if it's still a long shot, you know, I'm just saying. Get on the phone with Vegas. See what they're doing. See what those odds are. I think that's going to be what happens. Folks, we got more on the subway story. We need more Daniel Pennies and less Luigi Mangione's. Unfortunately, in New York, they got it backwards. Unfortunately, on the left, like usual, they've got it backwards. Hey, by the way, there's even a study about how backwards the left has it. We'll get to all that and more coming up on the other side of this break on Kale and Company. You're listening to 1210 WPHT. Sean Farish with you until 10 a.m. Eastern time. Guest hosting for the great Nick Kale and Company on 1210 WPHT. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
28 more days, 4 weeks away. And I guess we can start turning things around. You know, this is where we are. We're talking about the subway situation and how upside down, you know, the culture is. And I think a lot of people have been calling the Democrat Party, right, the party of death for quite some time. They're, you know, they love to talk about abortion. They love to talk about, you know, they've become the party of war and prolonging these wars. And this just kind of shows you the way they're thinking. There was a clip on SNL, you know, the love fest. I know Greg Stocker and so many people, they get fired up over this. I get fired up over this too. This Luigi Mangione guy. Now, all right. You want to go letter of the law, say innocent until proven guilty? I'm fine with that. I'm pretty sure he's guilty. I think he's guilty. I think the evidence suggests that he's guilty. But you want to say he deserves a fair trial? Fine. The Constitution matters. But folks, you know, kind of like the way we feel about OJ, you know, I don't think Luigi Mangione is somebody you'd want to leave your children with. I don't think so. I think he's a sociopath. Okay. Listen to the response of the live audience of Saturday Night Live. I would say that's probably not a right-wing audience, right? SNL, not these days anyway. Listen to the response of this audience when during their weekend update sketch, they bring up the host brings up Luigi Mangione. Listen to how they respond. And listen to how the host, by the way, responds. But listen to this from Saturday Night Live, this clip. It's on End Wokeness on X. This clip of when Luigi Mangione is brought up in front of a left wing audience. Let's roll this one.
Luigi Mangione dropped. Yeah. Yeah, definitely woo. You're wooing for justice, right? Luigi Mangione dropped his extradition fight and was flown from Pennsylvania to New York to face multiple charges. In related news, Bumble exploded.
You know what's even crazier is the punchline is mocking the people who wooed him. You're cheering for this dude? You're cheering for this dude. You know, I say this guy might have the toughest job in America. And he pointed this out. Oh, it's probably been about 2 weeks now, 2 weeks ago after Luigi was caught. And we know who caught Luigi, right? Employee of the decade. We look at it. I saw him walk into my store, into the McDonald's. I was flipping burgers. Nobody flips burgers better than I do. We were flipping them like nobody's ever seen. They were getting flipped all over the place. We love the burgers. The burgers are great. They're tremendous. And we were flipping the burgers, and I saw him walk in, and he had the eyebrows for days, and we called the police, and we said, he's in the store. His eyebrows look like caterpillars. They're going to turn into butterflies very soon. Luigi, we have Luigi. They said, sir, how do you know it's him? I said, he's got the signature eyebrows. It's him. It's Luigi Mangione. We got to get this guy. Donald Trump won Employee of the Decade from McDonald's for being the one who caught Luigi Mangione, or at least that's what the people are saying. But here's Scott Jennings on CNN. This guy, I think he has, for him, it might be the most fun job in the country. But to me, it's the toughest job in the country. I could not do what he does on CNN. This was a couple of weeks ago when the Daniel Penny case was still going on and we were waiting for a verdict. And he draws this, you know, he was being facetious, right? He drew a chart, the good guys, Daniel Penny, the bad guys, Luigi Mangione. And he has to deal with the CNN panel, who's basically head over heels in love with Luigi Mangione. Listen to and watch Scott Jennings. You're on YouTube. You can watch it. If you're listening, you know, listening on the Odyssey app or on your radio, you could listen to it. Listen to Scott Jennings explain that Daniel Penny is the good guy. Luigi Mangione is the bad guy. And he's highlighting this cultural issue that we're dealing with right now, where you're idolizing murderers and villainizing and vilifying heroes. Watch the great Scott Jennings on CNN. This guy's doing amazing work. Check it out.
If you're on the American left tonight, here's my chart. The good guys today, Daniel Penny. The bad guys, Luigi Mangione. It seems to me.
How do you?
Everybody
what's
on
the chart for victims?
I'm just telling you what I see out in the world.
I know.
What
I
see out in the world today.
Which victim is good and which victim is bad?
What I'm telling you is
that's not on the second page.
People on the left can't seem to tell the difference between the good guys and the
bad
guys.
People on the left. I want to know whether you think, as Congressman Crane does, that Daniel Penny should get the Congressional Gold Medal to recognize his heroism. I'm not asking you about anyone else.
I think he ought to get medal. I think he ought to build a statue to this guy in New York City.
I'm going to say the dreaded R word. Race plays a role in this. Right. And so we see it. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Because
wasn't there a similar case in New York City at the same time that
when people kill people who are white, they tend to get harsher sentences, especially if they're people of color.
What about the George
that,
Williams?
That is what happens in our criminal justice system.
I'm not going to stop because race absolutely plays a role in this. I said, what about the Jordan Williams case here in New York? Same situation. African-American gets on a subway, ends up killing a guy. Grand jury tosses it out at the exact same time as the Penny case.
What about Bernard Gay?
I mean, look, someone tell Scott Jennings he's wrong. Just don't tell him that. That it's all about the race. That guy's got the toughest job in the country. I couldn't do it. If that guy, you know, or that woman was starting to say, well, what about, I'm not asking you about people on the left. And the reason why, the reason why I like that clip secretly is because I'm a child. You hear Jennings in the beginning of that clip. He just goes, well, it's my chart. Make your own chart. Because she's asking about, you know, well, how come your chart doesn't have this? He goes, well, make your own. But it was actually, you know, in a way, like prophetic, right? It kind of showed you where they were, because here he is a couple weeks ago. This is before someone was lit on fire on the subway in New York. Right. And he goes, the left is idolizing this guy and demonizing that guy. The left is idolizing Mangione and demonizing Daniel Penny. The left is idolizing a killer and demonizing a hero. And then what? 2 weeks later, we find an illegal lighting a woman on fire on the subway. While the left is still, you know, dealing with their heartthrob sensation over Luigi Mangione. But what Scott Jennings highlights there, and what we can highlight and we could say going forward, is this is the upside down world now. We live in the upside down. I've been saying it for a couple of years, ever since doing a ton of work on Long Island with school boards and whatnot. My you can call it a catchphrase, a slogan, whatever, was crazy is the new normal and normal is the new crazy. I mean, think about where we are right now as a society, where we have decided that men can be women. Women can be men. Men can get pregnant. They deserve to be in whatever restroom they want to be. They deserve to play in whatever sports they want to be. Don't worry about the permanent effects of puberty blockers and hormone blockers and hormone replacement therapy and, you know, mutilating your body. Don't worry about that. It's life-saving, gender-affirming care, when actually the rate of suicidality and attempts on your life goes up after gender-affirming care. 12-fold. Think about the world that we're in right now, where we are demonizing a hero like Daniel Penny and lionizing, glorifying someone who looks to be a sociopath like Luigi Mangione. And that's what Scott Jennings is highlighting there. And he brought it up 2 weeks before it happened. And the woman on the CNN panel there is talking about, oh, well, I'm not asking you about people on the left. But this is what it's about, though. And then you get the SNL clip where the people on the left, the audience, cheered for this guy. To the point where even the host there in the bit, I forget the guy's name, the guy in the bit there was like, yeah, woo, you're wooing for justice, right? And it's even more awkward knowing that he was about to deliver a punchline that just mocked the rest of the audience. You heard all the ladies, woo, oh, it's Mangione, oh my gosh. You know, like it's like he's the new, I don't know, Justin Bieber, right? The punchline of the joke was that the dating app Bumble went crazy because everyone was trying to find Mangione's Bumble profile in New York City because he was brought into the city. Meanwhile, it's making fun of that. It's making fun of them. That's the crazy part. And Jennings pointed this out 2 weeks ago. That we live in stupid time. Look, I'm not saying the healthcare industry operates with the best intentions for its clients. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that it's perfect. I'm not saying that it's fair. I'm not saying that this is a morally upstanding industry. I'm not saying that they do not prioritize profits over people. I'm not saying any of that. Not at all. It's certainly not perfect. It should be fixed. But I can guarantee you, assassinating the CEO of a healthcare company is not going to fix the problem. And then glorifying the assassin who carried out the attack isn't going to fix. Doesn't the left have a problem with gun violence? Some gun violence for the left is good. Some gun violence is bad. Here's how we differ. I don't like any gun violence. I love guns. I love the Second Amendment. I think it should be followed the way it was originally intended by the founders. Everybody has the right to keep and bear arms. Self-defense is important. You should be able to defend yourself. You shouldn't be penalized like Daniel Penny almost was, and he essentially was. His reputation is, you know, has been shattered and has been destroyed, or at least severely damaged up at this point because of the mainstream media trying to make him out to be a racially motivated killer, which he wasn't, and he was acquitted of all of those charges. But how come the Mangione attack, we look at him, we applaud? And then we look at a school shooting, right, in Wisconsin, and we say, gun control now. The truth is, both attacks are terrible. The truth is, both of these acts of violence were egregious. That's what I believe. I'd love to see less school shootings. I believe armed guards in schools would be a great place to start. Some people say, oh, well, it makes the schools feel more like a prison. Well, I'd rather have your child. I mean, if I were you, and I think you'd rather, would you rather your child go to school and feel like they're in a guarded facility, you know, equal to that of a jail? Or would you rather your child be a victim of a school shooting? Okay. Or, right, are we just going to leave the schools undefended? My goodness, folks, banks have more security than some of your schools. What's more important, children or money? You have school shooting. I hate them. I hate school shootings. I hate when they happen. I think it's disgusting. It's horrible. And I equally detest unprovoked acts of cowardice, violence, a bloodthirsty assassination on the streets of a major metropolitan city, New York City. We hear it's safer. Crime is down. Subways are safe. Over the last 2 weeks, a CEO of a major company was assassinated in broad daylight, and a woman was lit on fire. Don't you tell me that Eric Adams and Kathy Hochul are making New York City safe. Got a lot of people who beg to differ. We're going to be back with hour three. I cannot believe we are halfway. We're halfway there. Bon Jovi, I knew him well, and then he turned woke and we're not on good terms anymore. We're going to be into hour three when we come back here on 1210 WPHD. It's Kale and Company. Sean Farish guest hosting for you today. Follow me over on X. Join the conversation on YouTube. You're on X at, or I'm on X at, at Sean, S-H-A-W-N underscore F-A-R-A-S-H. We will be right back with the beginning of hour three. We got a whole lot more to get to on this Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas Eve to all of you listening on the other side. This is 1210 WPHT. It's Kale and Company. We'll be right back.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.